I've been reading a book lately, given to me by a friend of mine. It talks about the journey of faith in our lives, the relationship that we have with God in our lives, and the authors talk about it as a circle. And you'd think, well, that's strange, because you know, normally when we say, I'm going around in circles, I'm not getting anywhere. But faith and the love and relationship with God aren't exactly like a normal journey. And as we grow in our love of God, we are better able to love other people. It's this odd thing. It goes around and around. And then as we love other people, they're able to help us love God more. And it grows, and our relationship with God grows, and our ability to be a positive influence guided by God grows for others. And that's what I want us to think about today. What does it mean to have a covenant with God and to let all other relationships in our lives grow out of that covenant, that promise, that love that we have for God? Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Loving God, guide our thoughts and words today. You are the potter, we are your clay. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. When I think of the word covenant, I think of traditions. Now, there are new covenants that people make almost every single day, but often when we make a covenant, it's done in a traditional way. It's grounded in our history. It's connected to the past in some way. The title I chose for the sermon today comes from a hymn, A Charge to Keep Have I. And yes, I know that kind of makes me sound like Yoda, but you got to understand that was written 250 years ago and people spoke differently back then. At least a few of you know what I mean by the Yoda reference. It's hymn number 413 in our hymnals if you want to take a look at it after the service. When I was a kid, there was a tradition. Now, I was a preacher's kid, so I had to go to the annual conference every year. And all the pastors would get together at the annual conference every year. And near the end of the annual conference, there would be a service of commissioning. It was basically all the pastors, at least in theory, knew which churches, which charges they were going to go and serve. And all of them together would rise, often with their spouses standing next to them, and they would sing this song. And the song talked about we have something that has been given to us by God. We have made a promise to serve God. And pastors would cry. And sometimes their spouses would cry too, because that's making a big commitment. It's making a promise to God. It's saying, God, I am going to serve this church. I'm going to do what you ask me to do, and I'm going to open myself up to your leading. And that's really what it's about for all of us. Not everyone's called to be a pastor or called to some other career in the church, but all of us are called to have a covenant with God. Making promises is at the center of what it means to have a human relationship. When two people get married, they make a promise to each other to love each other and to live in fidelity with each other. If a family or a person adopts a child, they promise that I will love and care for this child for the rest of their lives. They will be my child. When a person makes an oath to join the military or law enforcement, they make certain promises. I will live a certain way. I will do certain things to live up to my oath. On a personal level and on a societal level, we need to have these promises. We need to make covenants with each other. If not, there's trouble. We all know that a broken marriage covenant can be a profoundly hurtful thing to people. If a pastor breaks the vows that they make, it can cause great pain to a congregation and to many people. If a soldier breaks the vows and the covenant that they make to their comrades, it might cause someone to lose their life. Promises and covenants tie us together. But there is one covenant that supersedes all the others, one covenant that all of the other promises can grow out of, and that is the covenant we make with God. And so that turns us to the picture behind me, because this is a story in the scriptures today of five people who are all in covenant with God in one way, shape, or form. They're all seeking a deeper relationship with God. And promises, they're all making promises, or promises are being made on their behalf. Now, we can, of course, start with the baby, Jesus. Now, at this point, if the law was being followed, Jesus wasn't even 2 months old. So let's be honest, Jesus was not making any covenants for himself yet. He was a baby. He was focused mostly on eating and sleeping and taking care of what happens after he eats. And that's okay. When you're not even 2 months old, that's what you're supposed to be about. That's how you get a good, healthy start in life. But his parents, they were making some promises on his behalf. At the age of 8 days, they had him circumcised, literally a physical mark on his body that was going to show that his family was seeking to raise him in a relationship with God, with Yahweh, the God of Israel, our God. And then a few weeks after that, when the proper time of purification had passed, they had taken him to the temple in Jerusalem to offer a sacrifice. Because the law, the covenant said, you offer a sacrifice to God to give thanks for your firstborn. And Joseph and Mary and this are all making promises. They are seeking to live out the promise that they had made to God, and they are making promises on behalf of their child. And in many ways, it's not that different than when a person brings a child to be baptized and here in this congregation. The mother and the father or the guardian or whoever, the sponsors of that child say, I will raise this child up to know God. And we, as their church family, also make a covenant with them to help them in the process of introducing that child to the love of God known to us through Jesus Christ. But this is not just the story of the Holy Family and the covenants that they were making with God, that Joseph and Mary were making on behalf of the baby Jesus. There's two other people in that picture. There's an old man holding a child and thanking God, and there's an old woman looking with love at the face of that child. I think in some ways, maybe Simeon, the old man, and Anna, the old woman, are a little easier for us to identify with, because the kind of covenant that was being made by Joseph and Mary isn't the kind of thing we do anymore. Frankly, I'm glad that you don't come to me as your pastor or priest with a couple of pigeons that I'm supposed to wring the heads off and smear some blood on the altar. I'm glad that we don't do that anymore. Joseph and Mary were doing something that was laid out in the book of Leviticus, or maybe the book of Deuteronomy, I'm not entirely sure which, but they were trying to live in to what their understanding was of God's expectations. But these two older people, they were living into a covenant that in some ways is very much like the covenant that many of us have made with God or might make with God, maybe even for the first time today. They had simply made a covenant with God, saying, God, everything about my life, the entire ground of my being, will be in my loving relationship with you. They had made a choice to put God at the center of their lives, and that's very much like the covenant that Christians make to this very day when we choose to follow Jesus Christ. So let's talk about Simeon first. He had lived a long life, and he was committed to God, and he was committed to righteousness. In the Disciple Bible study that some of us are doing, I think it was one of the video presentations, they talked about the idea of righteousness as being in a healthy, loving relationship with everyone around us, with the people that we know, but also the people that we just pass on the street, living in a life that makes sure that we nurture and bless those around us. And Simeon had done that. He had a profound faith, so much so that people said the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, rested on him. People probably came to him for advice because they knew that God was alive and active in his life. And that morning, God had said to Simeon, go to the temple. I have something to show you. And because he trusted God, he went to the temple that day, and he met God's son, a little baby, whose family had brought him to the temple that day. Now, Anna, the other old person in this picture, was like Simeon, though her life had gone very differently than his. She had a very different calling. Now, at the time, she was a very old person. Nowadays, 84 is not shocking. Back then, if you got to 84, that was a virtual miracle. So she was a person of great age, and she was a person of great faith. But things had not been easy for her. She'd only been married for 7 years, and then she'd spent the rest of her life, probably decades, as a widow. But despite the pain of that, despite the fact that she probably didn't have a family, she was open to God. She had said to God, God, I will put you at the center of my life. And so open was she to God that God, through the Holy Spirit, had given her the gift of prophecy, the gift of being able to speak God's truths to God's people. And Anna spent her time in the temple. It says that she was there night and day. Maybe she even lived in the temple complex, praying and fasting, focusing on her relationship with God, and then sharing the good news of God's love with people that she met. She had made a covenant that everything in her life was going to be grounded on God. And she was open to God's leading in all things in her life. And so for all of the people in this picture, this artist's depiction of this scene, this young couple, Mary and Joseph, probably just in their teens, for Simeon and Anna, who were probably nearing the end of their lives, what is the lesson for us today? Well, I'm going to offer that there's two lessons for us today. The first is direct. Make the covenant. God invites you to make the covenant. God loves you more than you can possibly imagine. God loves every human being more than we can possibly imagine. And God invites us to make a covenant with God. Now, it's not a, if we do this, God will do that sort of thing. It's not a, God, I need this, and if I get it, I'll give $500 to charity or something like that. The covenant with God is saying, God, I will ground everything about me in my relationship with you. And I'm not going to say that that's a mild promise. That's a major promise. But it changes everything. It was something that Joseph and Mary had already done. It was something that as they raised Jesus, they would somehow share with their son. It was something that Simeon and Anna had done that had blessed their lives, their long lives. Now, if you make a covenant and a promise to ground your whole life in God, it doesn't mean you're going to become a perfect person. And this is such a beautiful picture, but you know what? Joseph and Mary and Simeon and Anna, they were not perfect people. Now, there's not a whole lot in the Bible that talks about their sins, but I'm going to guess that they lost their temper at least once. I'm guessing that they were probably selfish at least once. I'm guessing there was some time the Holy Spirit said, I need you to do this. It'll be a great blessing to someone. And they said, I don't want to. They had sinned. But even so, God was able to work through them because the perfect love of God is able to work through imperfect people. And so like these people 2,000 years ago, we are invited to make a covenant with God and to ground everything in our lives and our relationship with God. And the second lesson for today is it doesn't matter what stage in life we're at. Some of us here are fairly early in our lives. Some of us may be nearing the end of our lives. It doesn't matter. God invites us to make the covenant, or on this day to renew the covenant that maybe we made a long time ago. God is going to be active in our lives. God is going to help us in our lives. God is going to help us know God's love more deeply and let that love transform everything about us and make everything in our lives better. And as we are changed by God's love, it goes back to that circle. As God's love is poured into us, we then can share it with others. And we can help others know God's love and help others feel the love of God. As I recall, and somebody who knows math better than me, as I recall, I think about sixth grade, they talked about something in geometry that was called a ray. It has one point that begins and then it goes on forever. From the very first point that you and every human being who's ever existed, when in the first moment a human being comes into existence, God loves us, and God promises to love us forever. And if we make the covenant to be in a relationship with God, not only will God love us, God will offer us that love, and it will change everything about us. It's not a promise that everything will always be easy. As Simeon said to Mary, sometimes there will be swords that pierce our lives. But God promises us to love us and to change us and to invite us to be part of the change of all creation. So, people of God, I ask you a question. Will you make the covenant? I think it was almost 270 years ago, the founder of Methodism, John Wesley, invited people around the turn of the year, either at the very end of an old year or at the very beginning of a new year, to make a covenant with God. Maybe for the first time, or maybe simply to renew it, to say, God, I will put you at the center of my life for this calendar year. I will let my relationship with you through Jesus Christ be at the ground of my being. So I ask you, will you let your relationship with God be at the center of all you are? Will you love God with all you are, and will you love your neighbor as yourself? Will you let all aspects of your life grow out of that relationship? God is offering all of us, because believe me, I need to make this covenant too, and I need to renew it every year too. God is offering all of us a changed life through love. Will we let God's love into our lives? Will we promise to ground our relationship with God at the center of us? Will we make a promise that will change our lives and others? That is the question. Amen.